Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Raptors Reasonless Podcast. I'm your host, Blake Murphy. Joining me, Eric Kareen. Eric, what's up, man? Did you miss me last week?
A great fill-in in James Herbert. It's been way too long since I've been able to talk to him. I always miss you.
Was that supposed to be a Tom DeLong?
I miss you.
Yeah, you gotta really lean into the... Not to say you don't have a whiny voice, but you really have to lean in
you.
To the whiny voice to do the...
I miss you.
Where are you?
Is that better?
I'm glad that Yammy could come on in my place. Some exciting news before we go on to our Raptors podcast today. For anyone who is interested and was wondering if there would ever be a payoff to Eric always hinting that he wanted to come on my music podcast, Columbia House Party. He was on it this week. We talked about the thermals, so go check that out at Columbia House Party if you want to hear the two of us and my co-host over there, Jake, talk about music instead of the Raptors. Eric, you did the sociopathic thing of listening back to a podcast you were on. How did that thermals episode turn out?
Oh God, I hate every single one of my contributions to it. It's terrible.
Like
the pod was fine other than me, but I was the problem.
That's a nice change, because usually the feedback we get from our like hardcore people, like the people who support us on Patreon and are in the Discord and stuff, is usually that the guest is way better than us. So,
okay. Well, I have no idea. And I don't want to know if my view is proven to be the consensus. So please don't tell me. But I mean, that's the way it's going to be with literally any podcast I'm on. If I listen to it, I'm like, oh, I'm the problem, which is, you know, zooming out. That's pretty much the problem. That's pretty much how I view all contexts and facets of my life. So, yeah, I sucked. You guys were pretty good. And it's a good album.
All right. Speaking of people who suck but are also pretty good, your Toronto Raptors, who entered the All-Star break 2 games under .500. Before we get onto that, reminder, you can go to theathletic.com/we the six for a discount off an Athletic subscription to check out all of our written work. Right now, we have some stuff up. David Aldridge had a great piece on Megan McPeak and the all-women Raptors broadcast that's coming on March 24th that we'll talk about in a little bit. Eric gave out player grades today. I've been covering the Raptors 905 run deep into the playoffs. The second round of the playoffs takes place tonight, and they last one game because the G League playoffs are one and done insanity. So you could head over there and take a look at all that. Obviously, the big thing that you're wondering about is that the trade deadline is like 2 weeks away and change. And yes, we have lots of trade speculation and answering your trade questions and all that kind of stuff already up and more coming. So theathletic.com/we the six. Check us out there. Eric, quick news roundup. here as we come out of the All-Star break, or should I say a non-news roundup or news non-roundup. We still do not have clarity on the five Raptors players and multiple coaches who are in the league's health and safety protocols. The Raptors obviously went without most of their coaching staff the last couple games before the break, had a game postponed, had another game postponed that they were able to make up one day later and play those last two games against Detroit and Boston with only 11 players available to them. At the time of that incident, you know, there was room left open for the possibility that those players could return on Thursday when the Raptors come out of the All-Star break. But the Raptors have not had a practice yet. They've not had media availability or provided an update. So a lot of that's going to come down to the testing results and how everything went over the break. So theoretically, the Raptors could be back to a full squad minus Jalen Harris on Thursday, or I guess if the 905 get eliminated, they could have Jalen Harris too. But we won't think that way, Eric. But we don't know yet. We'll probably get that answer Wednesday, I'd imagine. The Raptors usually hold a practice the day before they get back from the All-Star break. So we'll see.
Often in the evening.
Yes.
So we'll see.
Wednesday night, overlapping with AEW Dynamite coming off of a pay-per-view. Unbelievable.
And I didn't even check if there's a game on WrestleMania. Have they announced WrestleMania?
Yeah, it's the 10th and 11th, so they play on one of those nights.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. All I can think about is wrestling.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, look.
Got wrestling brain.
wrestling brain, exactly. Look, the top news in each wrestling organization right now is someone from the region, the 519. So it's you know, Christian debuting for AEW, Edge winning the Royal Rumble. It's a great time for the region. And yeah, I guess Jamal Murray and Michael Mulder too. Michael Mulder making the Rising Stars team as one of five Canadians on the world team. That's not the news we're going to talk about. The other news we have to check off. Again, I mentioned earlier that David Aldridge had a great piece up with Megan McPeak. On March 24th, the Raptors, for their game against the Nuggets, will have an all-women's broadcast. That'll include Megan McPeak, friend of the podcast, former 905 play-by-play voice, play-by-play for the Capital City Go-Go and the Washington Mystics. She's great, and again, a close friend. So excited for her to get that opportunity in a play-by-play role. Kia Nurse will be beside her on the broadcast. Kayla Gray operating sideline reporting, and then Capier Ness and Amy Audibert doing the studio analysis. So really looking forward to that. It's a great initiative from the Raptors, and all five of those women deserve the larger platform and opportunity. And hopefully this is, you know, I know everyone's familiar with Kia from the TSN studio analysis, and everyone's familiar with Kayla and Kate, but Amy's been tremendous in a color role for the 905 the last couple of years. Megan is one of the best, if not the best, play-by-play voice in the G League and the WNBA. So really excited for that. Eric, any take on that?
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, there are a number of goals. One, to set more positive role models out there, and B, for this, you know, like all initiatives with this in mind, it's, you know, eventually you don't want to have these initiatives. Eventually you want to have enough women, you know, with big gigs for, you know, NBA teams or whatever sport you're looking at. And obviously there's a dearth of women in full-time roles, especially, you know, non-sideline roles right now, play-by-play or color. We've seen women like Kara Lawson and Stephanie Reddy like break through in recent years, but there just aren't enough. So I think it's a really cool initiative that's happening. I think John Wiggins, what's his title again? Sorry.
Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion.
Yeah, I think that was one of his first big ideas. That's at least the way that David Aldridge's piece made it sound like. And I think it's awesome. And like you said, all these women, yes, they're getting the exposure, but it's not like they haven't earned it in any number of ways. They've put in so many hours to where they're getting this, you know, bigger spotlight. And congratulations to all of them. And I'm sure it's not the end or not the culmination. It will just be something that, you know, helps them make bigger steps if they want. And, you know, somebody like Kate Bernas is already a pretty big star in broadcasting in this country. Kayla too. So I'm psyched for all of them.
Me too. Okay, now the big order of the day, obviously the basketball talk between the Toronto basketball team and the Philadelphia basketball team. I'm talking, of course, about Raptors 905 meeting the Delaware Bluecoats, the affiliate of the Philadelphia 76ers, in the G League semifinals Tuesday night. So if this is out in time and you're listening, that goes 9:15 p.m. Tuesday night on Sportsnet 1 and NBA TV Canada in Canada. Should be a fun one. The 905 blew out the Bluecoats not that long ago, but Delaware was playing without Isaiah Joe. The 905 were also playing shorthanded. No Jalen Harris, no Gary Payton the second in that one. Should be a fun game. Delaware is very good. Paul Reed is probably the G League bubble MVP. You'll remember from draft time, I'm quite fond of Paul Reed. I was actually fairly fond of Isaiah Joe too. He's very cool. So that should be a really fun game. And the winner, it's a one and done format, so you obviously can't bank on this too much, but sure looks like Jeremy Lin and the Santa Cruz Warriors are going to be on the other side in the finals. So the no disrespect to the Lakeland Magic, but
is Paul Reed a two-way guy? Yeah. Or is he? Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise he would have been plucked from that bubble long ago.
Morey.
Yeah.
My Twitter battle with Daryl Morey goes on about 3-point shot blocks as he watches Matisse Thybulle very slowly catch up to
Chris Boucher. Well, this is why Thybulle's got to be part of the Kyle Lowry return. So just the entire Raptors defense is just, well, we're going to collapse and then block every 3-point shot between Boucher, Siakam, Anunoby, and Thybulle. The winner of 905 and Delaware tonight, by the way, also gets Kyle Lowry. So big stakes beyond just the G League finals. Is that Nico?
It is Nico. She's not a fan of Kyle Lowry being traded.
Yeah, who is?
Or anywhere.
Who is? Yeah. Other than our friends on the 76ers side, Derek Bonner, Rich Hoffman, and then in the Twitter sphere, Andrew Unterberger, who is all in on the Delaware Bluecoats now and leveraged that conversation into talking about Kyle Lowry to the 76ers with me yesterday. So let's rehash that. Eric, you wrote a column about Kyle Lowry potentially being moved and what would have to go into that and where your comfort level with that is. Derek Bodner did something similar on the 76ers side, if it would make sense. You and I did a written version of Raptors Reasonablest this week where, you know, it wasn't just about Lowry, but Lowry's the most important piece of this. And you know, if you were to deal him or not deal him, that says a lot about the direction you're going in. I'll also have something later this week, by the way. First of all, my All Your Trade Ideas Are Bad mailbag is coming out Wednesday morning, and there are a lot of Lowry scenarios in there.
And they're all bad.
No, that wasn't that bad this year. This year, the issue was the volume. There were 92 trades submitted for it, and I think Sanaya would have...
That's too many.
Yeah, I think Sanaya would have killed me if I answered all of them. So I did make some ridiculous graphics to help with the analysis there. So you have some Lowry stuff coming down the pipe from us, and that's already up. Eric, we're coming out of the deadline here, two weeks from the deadline. You can't log on to Twitter these days without hearing some sort of Lowry speculation. Right before we came on, Lowry took to his own Instagram and basically said, if it's not coming from me, don't believe it. What's your temperature on the Lowry stuff? And for anyone who hasn't read your column on that, what's your comfort level with this discussion around Lowry potentially being dealt?
Well, what I wrote is there, this is a shade of gray thing, right? Like, I think he's far too important of a player to just say, well, he to the franchise to just say, even if you do believe he's leaving no matter what, which I don't necessarily, but and obviously the Raptors have some say about that. If they keep him, they keep his bird rights and they can make a significant offer to him. But he's too important to what your franchise has meant to just say, we need to trade him to get whatever we can back for him. We've gotten all we can out of him as a player. He's too important to view that coldly. As I wrote, like, I think back to that, you know, game 6 against Boston or game 3 against Boston, which were in many ways, many ways, Lowry-driven masterpieces. And let's say he didn't sign that extension before last year and the Raptors for some reason traded him, then you don't have memories of those games. And like, sure, the Raptors lost that series, but is the franchise poorer for it? Absolutely not. Like, it just adds, like, those games are what being a fan is about in a lot of ways. And who's to say he doesn't have a few more of those left in the tank if it's only for this year? So there are complicating factors. The most obvious one is they're playing in Tampa in front of either no fans or fans who probably won't have strong ties to the Raptors. But I would err on the side of keeping him. I do think Philly can make a compelling enough offer where you certainly have to consider it strongly. In my piece, I ran down sort of the eight either championship contenders or teams who will have windows, who it sort of makes sense for them to kick the tires on Lowry and what they can offer. And it's basically Philly. And then, like, if you want to get into it, Miami and Denver can do some, you know, can make some sort of offers, but nothing that would really push me to make that trade right now, unless Denver's including Michael Porter Jr., which they're not. So
also, don't the Raptors have enough problems with COVID protocols right now without adding an anti-masker, anti-vaxxer?
Yes. I wasn't going to go there, but I was certainly thinking about it. I think it probably comes down to Philly right now. You can disagree if you want. There's a way Miami sneaks into that conversation. And I want to be bowled over. And beyond that, a lot of it for me, as you mentioned in our sort of back and forth, it comes down to what Kyle Lowry wants. Like, you can't talk contract with him. If another person sends me, you can't talk contract, but wink, wink, you can. Like, okay, that's of no use to me. You want to find out what his intentions and his goals are for the rest of your career. You know what options and avenues are open to you. You know that signing Kyle Lowry to a big money contract is probably going to cut into what you can do in free agency. Not probably, almost certainly, unless you move another piece. So you have some strong, some pretty heavy decisions to make there. But I, again, like, this is a guy who I want to see play as many games in a Raptors uniform as possible. That doesn't mean you ignore and hang up on calls, but that would be the direction I lean with putting a lot of input into what Kyle Lowry wants.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
That's understandable. That leads us to our Twitter question of the day or week, I guess, which is something we're going to try to do a little more often on Raptors Reasonableists. Eric put out a call for questions, and this one flows naturally from the Kyle Lowry discussion. And it's something that we talked about in our written Raptors Reasonableists too, but we'll revisit it here. This comes from Kyle at the Stockhill. Do you trade Powell regardless of what happens with Lowry? I doubt he's likely to be re-signed and the return for him should be good. This is I think even though Norman Powell is the second longest tenured Raptor after Lowry, you can be a little more colder in your analysis here. He does not have the cachet to the franchise that Lowry does. Like Kyle says, Powell's kind of oscillating trade value and contract value over the years has gone firmly in the direction of, well, that's a pretty good deal he's on right now. And he is probably due for a raise this offseason. So the question becomes not only, you know, do you deal him with the idea of either using him as a chip to get better this year, using him as a chip to get future assets to sell. But you also have to factor in that if you do keep him and you don't want to lose him for nothing. And remember, the Raptors wouldn't trade these guys, wouldn't trade the championship to have got something for these guys. But four of the eight parts of their championship rotation have left with no return coming back. And long term, that's something you have to consider. But yeah, so you have to think of not only, you know, what a Powell trade brings back, but if you're going to re-sign him at a raise this summer, that's a lot of the cap flexibility you've built. And, you know, we have a good idea at this point what a Van Vliet, Ananobi, Siakam, Powell core probably looks like. And yeah, your comfort level with paying Norman Powell $18 million a year to be a part of that core might vary. So, Eric, I guess the question for you that I've stolen from Kyle and rambled on about is Norman Powell on the market if you're the Raptors, regardless of what's going on with Kyle Lowry?
I think he's on the market, but I quibble, and I think it is regardless of what's going on with Lowry. But I have a tough time reading the market. I don't know about you, Blake, but like, as we mentioned in our written piece, there are more teams that should be interested in Powell because of his age. And, you know, his bird rights become very valuable to teams that don't necessarily, you know, compete in free agency. There will be a lot of money out there, or there should be a lot of money out there to spend from a bunch of different teams this summer. But, you know, bird rights are the easiest way to get a deal, to give yourself an advantage. And, you know, a player like Powell in his prime, who's, you know, been a contributor on a lot of good teams, is, you know, a hell of an offensive player, obviously, when he's going like this. That's really good for you, or that's really good for a lot of teams. So his market should be bigger. I just don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like a young piece and a protected first. I don't know if it's, you know, a mid-round first, but nothing else of value. I don't know if you can, like, maybe you can't get a first rounder for him at all. And I know it depends on what you get back is a lazy answer, but like, I think if you can get a young piece and like I said, a protected first.
Yeah. When you threw out Malik Monk and a first, I dropped everything. I was like, done.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I was feeling pretty lazy when I did that. And I said at the time, Charlotte would not do this.
Right.
But that's like an example of a deal where I would, you know, that's something I would probably do. I would do. But there are lesser versions of that. Like if the team's a bit better and the prospect's a bit worse, that I look at, you know, longer, and I'm not sure if I do, because I do think Norm Powell's a very valuable player, or is a pretty valuable player, maybe not as much as his box score stats, but he's obviously a useful piece on a good team.
I don't think you mean box score stats. I think you mean his points per game, because there aren't many box score stats other than that one.
His box score stats.
Yeah, and I mean, he has been ludicrously efficient this year again.
Yeah, again, for the second straight year. You know, I lean a bit more toward moving him because I think I see what's coming in terms of his contract, and maybe it takes less. It certainly takes less. I need less nudging to make a deal for him than I do for Lowry, but it's not a no-brainer for me. Where do you stand?
Yeah, I'm probably more on the sell high side of things. I just think, you know, obviously those 18 points a game at hyper efficiency are really valuable. But we've seen, you know, they're not, the Raptors are two games under 500. It's not like that's a huge swing thing for them right now. Now, I do think if you traded Powell, you're going to get worse. Like his skill set is a huge need on this team if you take him off of this team. But I also think that he's about to get really expensive. And I think, given the trend he's gone through in his career defensively and the kind of he's had a couple good playmaking games this year, but generally he's kind of just a scorer, I would say.
Yeah. His assist rate is pretty much the same as last
year.
There's no noticeable jump.
It's not a player type that I want to invest a ton of money in. Now, the fact that he's such an elite three-point shooter over a large sample now maybe colors that more than if he was a pure slasher. But I just think asset management-wise, like, this is the highest his trade value is going to be, and it's the highest it's been. And asset value-wise, like, he's not going to be as positive an asset next year because you're going to have to pay him more. And I don't know that. Yeah, I think they might regret not shopping him around and seeing what they can get. You know, some of this hinges on them not being buyers. Like, if they were to go out and buy a Thad Young or Rashawn Holmes or something like that, and you don't need Powell for the salary matching, then no, I'm not getting rid of him, because then you're making a move to be quite good. But if you're in the – definitely if you're selling Kyle Lowry, and if your mentality is more of a hold mentality, I think I'm not holding on that particular asset. to your hold strategy, but I'm different. I don't really.
It makes sense, because it's hard to see him getting like that much more efficient with what he's doing right now. And even though he is an expiring contract, he doesn't come with cost control. Like, bird rights, as I mentioned, are valuable. Yeah. So, and that's like, and as you said at the top of the conversation, it's four players who have provided the Raptors a ton on the court, but eventually have left for no return. And at some point, you have to change that. You either have to keep them, as they have with Siakam, Anunoby, and Van Vliet, and, you know, Lowry, they've already given one more year to. Or you have to turn them into some more pieces. And you know, this team with Van Vliet, Siakam, and Anunoby, I believe they're making about, as of next year, $70 million or so combined. You've got to find ways to get contributors who are making less than that. like useful players who are, you know, making but seven-figure salaries as opposed to eight-figure salaries. Yeah. That's just the math you have to do, unless you want to be a team that's spending into the cap or spending into the tax, and you're basically looking at the same core as you have now, which, you know, Masai Ujiri's been pretty open about it. He wants to build another championship team in Toronto. So,
yeah. And the other thing I'll say too, just to kind of wrap that up, is, you know, if you're in the hold mentality or the run it back mentality, if you keep Norman Powell and Kyle Lowry next year, that is your salary cap space. Those are your additions. When you figure in cap holds and rights and stuff like that, you're basically locking in this core plus whoever their first is and the mid-level exception. Obviously, trades can play a factor. They do have those non-guaranteed deals for Baines, Boucher, Bembry that they can leverage. But, you know, if you decide to hold, that is not a decision that only affects this season. So keep that in mind. Obviously, you know, the amount we've been wishy-washy on this podcast and in the written Raptors Reasonablist, that would highlight how, let's just say, you can go a lot of ways with this. You know, it's there's no right answer or wrong.
It's complicated. That's why we're wishy-washy.
Yes.
Like, it's not like they're an obvious seller or an obvious buyer. There's a world in which, like, everybody gets healthy and they're a team that, yeah, sure, like, they don't have the upside of Milwaukee or Brooklyn or Philly probably, but they can give each of those teams trouble. And, like, I'm sure they feel that they can give, like, at least Milwaukee and Philly, like, a real, real series, whether they're right or not. That's how they feel. And I'm not ready to say they're absolutely wrong. So that, to just say buy, sell, like, it's not that simple. It depends on the details. But, you know, you're coming to the time. I mean, this 8-game stretch before the deadline, as we mentioned in our Reasonablist online, in written form. Like, it's not the hardest stretch, but there are a lot of these teams you're in this, you know, morass of 500-ness with. And if they lose some of those games, then all of a sudden you're looking at a first-round series against one of those teams instead of a possible second-round series. And if that, you're looking at a play-in. So, yeah.
I will say, though, the fact that the Raptors over the last 8 years have been one of the most annoying teams in the league, but they haven't earned the honor of, like, being an annoying playoff out. Like, yes, that Nets series, they were an annoying out. But the rest of the time, like, every playoff loss they took, they just got steamrolled. You know, it's kind of in the destiny for them to be an annoying playoff out.
I think against Boston last year, they kind of were. Like, even though they were favored, they were co-favored. Like, the way that series went, like, Boston was clearly, to me, the superior team. Having, you know, two or three games by blowout, two games by blowout, and they, you know, that series could have been over any number of ways, and the Raptors just refused to go away. Yeah. Anywho.
Yes. Okay. So you mentioned the 8-game stretch ahead. Let's look ahead a little bit because we have a staff meeting shortly. The Raptors return on Thursday to play the Atlanta Hawks. The Raptors are currently 8th in the Eastern Conference. They're 2 games below 500. They have 8 games left before the trade deadline. So a pretty big stretch here. They play Atlanta. Then they'll go on a 3-game road trip against Charlotte, Chicago, and Detroit. They'll return, quote-unquote, home to play Utah. And then they've got at Cleveland, at Houston, and Denver. So 6 of the next 8 games against teams you'd think are probably beatable. And then the Utah and Denver games are at home. So you at least don't have to deal with those being really tough places to play. The front office won't be as productive as, hey, if they go 6-2 in this stretch, we'll buy. And if we go 3-5, we'll sell. But it's a pretty important stretch that'll inform, I think, where they're going from here. Eric, what are you looking at in these 8 games before the deadline? And then specifically, of course, Atlanta, Charlotte, and Chicago before we next talk to the people. I feel a 0-3 week for Eric Kareen. Not for the Raptors, just for Eric Green.
Well, I was going to say the other annoying reason for you being off last week is I got all 3 games I predicted, or we predicted, that actually happened, right?
Yeah, but big asterisks, though, because you didn't predict the why and the... You certainly didn't predict a Plumlee triple-double and half the roster.
Well, the Detroit game and the Boston games we did not predict. Oh. It was the 3 games before that. And then I also predicted the Chicago game, but that didn't happen.
So you got it wrong, is what you're saying.
Well, I went 3-0-1, I guess.
And no contest. Perder Jan, Aljamain Sterling finish to that one.
Look, it sort of sucks that, I mean, it doesn't sort of suck. It totally sucks that the Raptors are in the health situation they're in. That's first and foremost, obviously. Like, it's kind of ridiculous to try and predict these games. We don't know who's going to be available. And as I've said, you know, since this started against the Rockets, however long ago that was now, we just hope that everybody's okay. And, you know, whoever's positive recovers fully and as quickly as possible. And hopefully that number of people is limited. What I'm looking for is, like, it's getting to, you know, Josh Donaldson get it done league time, right? You know, it's not the try hard league, it's the get it done league, or whatever he said.
Yeah. Are you trying to channel John Hamm in the town here? This is the not effing around crew. So effing around.
We have to see the best version of this team right now. It's not highly analytical, but that's what it's gonna come down to. And whoever they have available, that's going to need to happen. I don't think I'm getting, like, you know, these are the teams. It's Chicago, it's Atlanta, it's Charlotte, like, all those teams. I mean, Atlanta's just outside that, you know, big group of teams, but it's just like one game. So they're not really that far outside of it. Both Atlanta and Washington are threatening to make that 7-team group a 9-team group. So if the Raptors want to make, create some separation and, you know, make their case for sticking around, it's these games. I'm sorry if that's not that, like,
no,
again, it's analytical, it's... but like, that's what it is now. Like, they lost too many close games earlier in the year for them to have a cushion at this
point. Look, analytical at its core, we're just trying to figure out the wins and losses, because that's what matters at the end of the day, you know? All right, Eric, before we wrap up here, I said we're only going to do one Twitter question of the day, but we have another one.
I guess you want me to predict the game.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah, win, loss. Yeah, so win, loss. You're sure. Saying they'll go loss, win. Okay.
I'm just saying you're going to be wrong. I'm not predicting the games. But yes, that Sunday game on a back-to-back against the big bad Booty Thaddy, Thad Young, is...
maybe he'll be a Raptor by then.
Maybe. Or maybe he'll just leave with them after.
Yeah.
Okay. One more question. Normally we'll only do one, but this is a good one that I want to end on. This comes from Gilbert Lee at Gilbert K. Lee. Can you guys shout out some of your favorite female Raptors pods and podcasters? So first of all, that starts with Dishes and Dimes. Obviously, that entire group is doing excellent work over there, doing things like having Stanley Johnson on and having really engaging clubhouse sessions and pregame breakdowns. And the weekly pod there is tremendous. So check them out. I'd also say check out Raptors Queens. And then if you're looking for outside of the Raptors, Haley O'Shaughnessy just started a podcast called Spinsters with Jordan Liggins. So check that out as well. Really looking forward to what they're going to be doing there. I mean, the Dishes and Dimes people, you could also shout out individually because they are all over other podcasts. Katie Heindel and Kelsey O'Brien, specifically Kelsey, doing a great job covering 905. And then Noura Sandy Iman and the rest of I'm leaving out some of the Dishes and Dimes people because I'm going out. Yasmin, Sidra, they're all doing a great job at Dishes and Dimes. And then if you're a baseball fan, our colleague Caitlin McGrath is doing a Blue Jays podcast with our pal Drew Fairservice. So check that one out.
Spin rate.
That's what it's called. I was scrolling her Twitter timeline trying to find it.
Yeah. I could feel you spiritually. Like, we don't even have a camera on, folks. That's just called chemistry and intuition when you've had this sort of this teamwork, this bond for so long as Blake and I have.
Sure. Okay. So we'll end that one. All right. We got to go. Realize it's a shorter episode today, but we're coming out of the All-Star break. We don't have answers to the big questions that you want, like who is going to play on Thursday and
or what does life mean?
Yes. But the next 2 weeks should be very spicy. 8 important games, the trade deadline on March 25th. So, you know, check us back here. We'll be back Monday after Atlanta, Charlotte, and Chicago. We'll be on top of anything, of course, deadline related, and then all our writing over at theathletic.com. And if you're not a subscriber yet, you can go to theathletic.com/we the six for a discounted subscription. Thanks everyone for listening. Eric, thank you, man.
Thanks, Blake. See ya.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.